It's leadership at all levels, now in its eighth year. Our host is Gail Lowney-Olofsson, Director of Corporate Partnerships and Community Relations for the Newport International Boat Show, a division of Newport Restaurant Group, where her career has focused on building decades of corporate partnerships through leadership, gratitude, and positivity. As an adjunct professor at the University of Rhode Island, Salve Regina University, and Western Connecticut State University, Gail appreciates the opportunity to share business acumen and optimistic views on life. She's the author of Your Someday Is Now, What Are You Waiting For? 100% of the book sales benefit nonprofit organizations, and to date, over $50,000 has been donated to nonprofit organizations. Gail, here's Gail.
Well, hello, Bruce. We blink and it's autumn.
Yes, and almost winter.
It's almost winter, and I have a great update. Sales are now at over 55,000. Yay.
Wait a minute, yeah.
Because Wendy Kagan of Bank Newport, Amy Walsh, Colleen, I'm just thinking of all the different people in banking who invited me to speak at the REBA conference, the Banking Association Women in Banking.
Nice.
And they bought 200 books. Wow. And then I had another corporation buy books as well. So that's what's happened since I've seen you. Maybe we should be apart more often.
I think so, right? If this is what it took.
is that what it took? I'm really, really excited.
Now, you congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations to the nonprofits who benefit, that's for sure. But you mentioned positivity, and when my guest and I walked into the room today, she said, I'm so excited to be here to see you, Bruce, because you are one of the most positive people in Rhode Island.
I love this. I love this person.
Okay. Well, that's what you wrote to me in an email when I told you. I never tell you who's coming in, ever. And this time I did because I knew it would be exciting.
Right.
When I sat next to Lisa Rayola, the president and founder of Hope in Maine, I want to say 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago at a Newport Chamber Women in Business dinner. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. The seat was empty there. Lord knows why. It shouldn't have been. I went and I think that's the only time Lisa's had an empty seat near her. But I went over. I probably bumped somebody. And she was too polite to tell me. But I went over and sat down and immediately was captured by her positivity, her gentle grace. And when I got the bio about Lisa, I have one question for you. First of all, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, you and Bruce. It's great to be here.
And you look like $1 million, maybe
two. Thank you.
But in order to do everything on this bio, you'd have to be 202 years old.
Yeah,
you don't look like
I'm
that.
I'm living my life in dog years. So how do you do all the things? You said it in your opening. You said your career is about leadership, positivity, and gratitude. And I would almost put those things in reverse. If you start with gratitude.
Yes, every day.
Every day, then you can be positive, then you can be a leader. Because I feel like that is where it all begins. Every day you wake up, you have gratitude that, hey, I woke up today. Today's another day to excel. We're going to do something great today. And that really is sort of the secret, I think, the secret sauce.
Do you wake up in the morning? Is your gratitude practice one of you wake up and think through everything you're grateful for?
No, I start with a prayer that thanks for letting me wake up today.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that's probably not in my bio is I'm a cancer survivor. And so after that experience, on some days when you think I may not be waking up, you know, you wake up and I have gratitude that I have my health, that I can tackle a day. And that the day is going to be what it is in my mind, not what I'm facing when I get out of bed.
Right. Well, my sister Jennifer, who when Cassidy was 3, and I know you have your grandpeople, we'll get to them.
Yeah.
When Cassidy was 3, she had the triplets. The triplets were born.
Oh, my God.
Four girls under the age of 3. Now four girls under the age of 22. Which would you rather have?
Definitely under 22, not under 3. I couldn't do it.
I think you're the first person who's ever said that, that's for sure. But they're great women. But I said, Jennifer, why are you always in the best mood? She's always in a great mood. I'm in a great mood all the time, but I didn't have 4 girls under the age of 3. She said, it's really easy. I have a sticky on my mirror that says, her bathroom mirror, I'm not going to let anyone or anything ruin my day today.
Yeah.
I love it. It's by Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Yeah. You own your day. Own your day. Every day. It's that first affirmation. If you decide that someone else owns your day, you have a good shot at being miserable that day, because, you know, it's not about the circumstances around you. It's how you are coping. It is your attitude that, you know, starts your day, rules your day. And I actually have a mug that someone gave me that says it's another day to excel, because I would always go into my office and say that.
I love that. That is beautiful. I'm writing that down.
You can have my mug.
I'm not taking your mug. But here's the thing. In class on Monday, what I always do the first week, this is at the University of Rhode Island class because we're in person, and I get to know them across the week.
Yeah.
Right, 3 weeks before Thanksgiving, I bring in Thanksgiving cards to have them write to a parent, an aunt, a loved one, a teacher, a mentor, whoever it is, right in class. We take 8 minutes, 2 extra if they need it, to find a quote or something online to motivate them. Then I collect them back with their home address. One person addressed it to himself instead of to his grandparents, but that's okay. I'll fix it.
Yeah,
I'm teaching students how to address an envelope. But let me tell you, they can run circles around me on the computer and social media, so we don't judge. But when they finish this, I take them and I'll mail them on Monday, so they'll hit before they go home. I said, before we do the letters this year, let's make a list of 10 things we're grateful for. One of the students kind of rolled his or her eye. The other student, who didn't seem like they'd be into it, after we wrote down the 10 things you're grateful for, he, on his list, because we all read a few of them, wrote, he was grateful to breathe, to have breath, and grateful to feel feelings. I've never heard that. I thought that was really deep.
And he may be surviving some physical illness.
Even as
a young
health,
person.
You don't know.
You know, this is very personal, but my sister, who you know is no longer with us, passed away of lung cancer. And she said she used to lay on the ground outside when she would take a walk and look up at the sky and be grateful for breath in her lungs. And, you know, that gives you perspective, right? And perspective is a great gift for anyone at any age. You know, we're always open to those gifts. And that is, you know, that's something that we need to sometimes think about. What is it that we're grateful for? And we're not going to go much further if we don't have breath in our lungs, right?
No. And that's what a beautiful thing to do. We should do that more often.
You should do it every day.
I like the idea of lying on the grass and looking up.
Yeah,
you think we could do that every day?
That's what she would do every day.
I'm going to text you a photo of me doing that.
Yeah.
Because we forget to just lie back, look, breathe. It's wonderful. And I'm sure this week you were watching The Hunter's Moon.
Yes.
Well, we're going to go to a very quick break and be back to talk with Lisa Raiola, MPH, President and Founder of Hope in Maine.
Welcome back. It is Leadership at All Levels with Gail Olofsson.
And we are with the founder of Hope in Maine. That's a 501c3 launched in 2009, where food producers connect, scale, and thrive. And on the website, I love this, Meet Your Maker. Your slogan?
It says, no.
Oh, I love
actually,
it.
But that's the name of one of our markets, is Meet Your Maker, which is going to be in a few weeks on November 21st at Hope in Maine and Warren. Where you meet because we want people to meet the folks that make their food.
Love this.
Right? Because food is life, food is energy. Meet the people who make it so that you can understand what it is you're consuming when you eat their food and where it came from and why they make it.
And we are going to get so much to Hope in Maine because I absolutely love your company, love everything you do. And wish I could cut myself in two so I could come over there and be with you every day.
Yeah, you can come over. You'll gain a lot of weight.
Well, you don't look like you've gained a lot of weight. You're doing something.
We always need a chief tasting officer position.
Bruce, that sounds like your position.
I know. I thought I was the chief tasting officer.
Bruce, anytime.
Can I be the assistant?
Yes.
I'll be the assistant. That sounds fantastic. But I want to get personal a little bit. On the break, you told me about a practice that you did for a friend of yours who was ill.
Yes, and you inspired me to tell you that story because in your class, you talked about having the students write cards for Thanksgiving to their relatives. And it's a lost art of writing a personal note, just like it's a lost art of making your own food, right? I mean, these are things that people aren't learning as young adults as much anymore. I won't say not at all. And so the idea of sitting down, thinking about it, writing that note, you know, licking the envelope and sending it with gratitude to somebody is extremely meaningful. It's sending them a little slice of positivity, like a little piece of positive pie, right? And when I was ill, somebody did that for me every single day. Sent me just a little postcard, a little note. And eventually I knew those notes were coming every day, but I still look forward to it every day, just getting that little handwritten note. Yeah. And when I was able to do that for someone else, a family member who was sad. I was a young person, and he said, I never get any mail, and so I don't check my mail. And then when he checked his mail, he had all these cards, because I was waiting for the call or the text to say, hey, thank you. And he was just so thrilled to get those cards. And it's such a nice gratitude practice. Pay it forward, because you're going to get it back in your life.
Yes, and I love that you said that. When you wake up in the morning and you go out and you just put great energy in the world, the more you give it away, it's one thing you have to give away to get back.
It is, because it is a collective supply. We're all part of some bigger, some bigger energy. And, you know, we put it out there, because then we reap the benefits of getting it back. You know, some days when you're depleted, and you encounter that person that smiles, or that person that says hello or opens a door for you, and you think, you know, like that little act of kindness is something that it's really just putting those ripples out into the world. You don't know where it's filling that little kindness gap for somebody that day who really needs it.
The kindness gap. You need to write a book. Let's call it The Kindness Gap. That could be working working title right now.
But just,
now.
You know, if you've ever thought about kindness as the currency of the realm instead of money as the currency of the realm, how much more we would be putting out, because we all need a little bit of it, right? And we just need to be putting more out there.
No, and you went through cancer. How do you maintain a positive attitude? How long ago was this?
So this was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think it's easy for me to maintain a positive attitude, because when you look at every day as a gift that you might not have the next day, you know, some people think, oh, well, if I ever was in that situation, I got better, I would just check out and get a boat and sail around the world, or, you know, just relax after I was in recovery. And for me, it's this ability to put something back into the world that enables me to get up every day and say, you know, it's another day to excel. It's another day to be positive, because I didn't know that I was going to have that opportunity again. So it's my reaction to that circumstance. And I have a lot of time to make up. I didn't work for 3 years. I was disabled. I didn't get emails. I didn't get phone calls. Sometimes I couldn't get out of bed until 3 o'clock, you know, in the afternoon. And so being able to get up in the morning and say, I'm going to put something good out there today into the world is the greatest gift you can have.
So 3 years you couldn't work.
Right.
How did you fill your time?
So I did a lot of research in nutrition. I changed my diet very radically. That's really where Hopamine came from, Gail. I don't know if you know, but that's where it came from, is that when I changed my diet, I couldn't get a lot of the food that I wanted to eat, and I couldn't cook a lot of it for myself. So many people helped me during that time. They cooked for me, they shopped for me. And I said, if I ever get better, I'm going to do something with food, because it was so meaningful. I think it's why I'm here.
Yes.
So I was going to start a company that made prepared meals for people who were medically shut in, like me. That was my original idea.
You're giving me chills.
And that was my business plan, was to have a company that you could go online and order food like you ordered flowers, because so many people sent me flowers, and I need food, but no one could send me food. 20 years ago, you couldn't do that. So my thought was, how could you go online and send food like you send flowers? And I was going to start a company that did that. And I was looking for maybe 1,500 square feet to build a kitchen and to start this company. And I was driving one day from Bristol to Warren on Route 114, which in Bristol is Hope Street and in Warren is Main Street. And right at the line, there was a little property that I thought was in foreclosure where Hope and Main is.
Okay.
And I went into the town hall and I said, tell me about this property. Is it in foreclosure? And they said, no, but we have a public building for sale. Let us show you this building, which turned out to be a shuttered elementary school that was 18,000 square feet. And I think Bruce knows the story. And I went in and I said, what would I do with 18,000 yes. square feet? And then I thought, I bet there's a lot of people like me that want to start a food business and have no place to go. Because it's very expensive, it has high failure rates, it has high capitalization costs, it's complicated. And I thought of tech incubators in California, and I thought, I wonder if there's such a thing as a food incubator.
But there wasn't.
There was not.
You first thought of this in 2009.
In 2009. Only because
one was thinking of this.
They took me to that building just for when I only needed 1,500 square feet. At that little property that I saw where Hope Street changes into Main Street. So that's where Hope and Main came from.
And you bought this.
And I bought this building.
That's a pretty bold move.
It was a pretty bold, crazy move. But look, it's launched 500 businesses out of there.
It has launched 500 businesses and millions of dollars to the local food economy.
One out of every four new food businesses that is established and domiciled in Rhode Island launches at Hope in Maine.
Wow.
That's how productive that little place is.
Do you remember the first client that believed in you, or one of your first clients?
I do, and it was Fox Point Pickling.
Hmm.
Ziggy Goldfarb, who is now in Arizona, and he was a marketer who lost his job in the Great Recession. Remember, we opened this during a recession, the Great Recession.
Yes.
And he did pickling as a hobby, but he was a great marketing guy. And his slogan was small state, big flavor, because he was Rhode Island's pickle.
Yes.
And I was like, that's an awesome slogan for Rhode Island, small state, big flavor. So I talk about that all the time, that he didn't know what he was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. We were like one lesson plan ahead of the class. I said, like, let's do this thing together and build this community that is now the Hope and Maine community. And the peer collaboration and the belief in each other, sort of those giant shoulders, is 100% why it works. Because entrepreneurship is a lonely journey and can be a really challenging journey. And to have everybody in it together... Yeah, sometimes I say we're all in this alone,
yes.
is how people feel. You know, we're all in this alone, which is, you know, the irony is we're all, you know, in the same storm, maybe in different boats. But at least if we can recognize that, you know, maybe we can navigate together, that is something that we do at Hope in Maine that I think really lifts everybody up.
So every day, like when you go back today, it's very vibrant. People are working
yes.
in all the different rooms. You walk
all
in
the
and
kitchens,
say hi.
Yeah, yeah.
All the different kitchens.
Yeah.
This is, it makes you want to cook.
It does.
And you don't have to be healthy, right? You don't have to be healthy.
You don't have to be, although I would say a lot of the products are
okay.
healthy products. We didn't plan it that way. If someone wanted to come and make cotton candy, they could. But many of them have backstories like me. Either they're cancer survivors, they have children who had celiac, they are vegan. And so they're taking their lifestyle choices, their food ways, their food heritage, and they're bringing it to the community. They're bringing it to Rhode Island.
But you don't only have a shared use commercial kitchen. You also offer food-related business, technical mm-hmm. assistance, access to market, mm-hmm. funding, and finance?
Mm-hmm.
How? How do you do all this?
Because we realized we had to do it. Because the toughest thing about a food business is not making the food, even though that's tough. It's getting it in someone's mouth.
Yes.
Because food is a to-sell buy. You know, you've got to get it on someone else's shelf to get it in someone else's mouth. And so access to markets is extremely important and not easy to do. Right? That's why we have Meet Your Maker Market at Hope in Maine, because people we bring the customers there. That's why we opened the Downtown Makers Marketplace in Providence, because we can put you on our shelves. So access to markets, access to capital, all of your technical and business assistance. When you're one lesson plan ahead of the class, that means you're listening to the class. And yes. So your next class is yes. going to be what they need to learn.
Oh my gosh, you are like a natural teacher. We will get to that after our break. Lisa, I want to spend the day with you.
Come on down.
If I woke up every single morning and took a walk and talk with you, I would be so full of energy. So you are just unbelievable. We'll go to a very quick break.
It's Leadership at All Levels with Gail Lawson.
Well, we are here with Lisa Rayola of Hope in Maine, and it has gone way too fast. But you mentioned a comment. You said you love positive pie.
Yes.
You love pie.
I love pie. I love all kinds of pie. We even launched a pie company out of Hope in Maine called Flaky Crust, and it was two sisters who came who, when I asked them, what do you want to do, they said, we want to bake pie. And I said, well, you must be amazing pie makers. And they said, no, we've never made pie.
So how does this happen then?
So, and this is not atypical at Hope in Maine.
No. We have what was the evolution?
Who, so they love pie.
Right.
They had an idea for a pie company. So they wanted to teach themselves to make sweet and savory pies, you know, hand pies, yes. big pies, all different kind of pies. And they what they did is they used Hope in Maine as their launch pad to de-risk that idea.
Okay.
So because pie is extremely challenging to make. It's hard to make consistently. And for a year they worked on this pie company. They were finally ready to graduate. They bought an old cafe in Attleboro that they transformed into Flaky Crust pies. There's a line out the door, Gail, for their pies. Go, if you go for Thanksgiving, you better yeah. order ahead. You won't even get near the place.
Do they mail order as well?
They don't mail order, as far as I know, but they're trying to franchise Flaky Crust pies because
yes.
they're delicious. They are very efficient. They're a profitable business. That's what they did out of Hope in Maine.
So we need a franchising division of Hope in Maine.
We do, because there's a lot of companies that yeah. really could do that. Feast and Fettle is another company that came out of Hope in Maine. Do you know Feast and Fettle?
No.
So that was two young women who had just graduated from Johnson & Wales. They were private chefing for families, and they had this idea to do prepared meals, similar to my idea, and deliver them to the home. So you would have a subscription every week. You would order your meals for your family. It's family-style, you know, portions with mains and sides. They now have 8,000 customers all over New England. They're down to Connecticut and up to Boston. They have 150 vans on the road. They're a multi-million dollar business, starting with two women who were just baking for or cooking for people at home.
I love this. We need to bring them to the boat show
with
their van and have them there.
They're incredible.
So you love pie. What's your favorite pie?
Well, my favorite pie is probably blueberry pie.
Okay.
Yeah, with wild Maine blueberries and vanilla ice cream.
Do you like key lime pie?
I love key lime pie. Okay. I really do love any pie.
Well, I saw on your bio that you love pie.
Oh, yeah.
And I picked up pie this morning at Food Love Market.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank
and it
you
was
so
made
much.
This morning.
Was it?
Yeah, they had to go in the back.
Oh, thank you.
Because I said,
you.
Don't you have little pies, too?
Oh,
and they're like, well, they're not out yet.
We just have a woman
that's
starting at Hope in Maine.
I didn't bring a fork.
Sorry. Key lime pie.
She is.
Yes.
Okay.
She had all these great baked goods, and her greatest thing was little small key lime pies.
Well,
people
I think they
will go
cut this
for
you. Yeah, they did. It's not like the little round one because they just cut it out of one. I said, I need a piece of key lime pie. They were very, very nice
thank
to do that.
Thank you so much.
But this is like, it all stems from you, your positive attitude, everything you're doing. But you didn't just stop at Hope in Maine. You have a new initiative on Westminster Street.
Yes, it's the Hope in Maine Downtown Makers Marketplace. And we opened in January. And the concept is... It's a grocery store restaurant. I call it a grocerant.
I love that.
Meaning,
is that a real
term? I don't know if it's a real
that?
Term. But it is a grocery store with all our members' products. And it's a cafe restaurant that serves menu items that incorporate our members' products. So if someone is making a kimchi, we have a kimchi chicken sandwich. Someone makes a chikamonina. It's a spice blend. And we're making a barbacoa sandwich with it. Mm-hmm. So we're incorporating our member products into the menu so people can experience Hope in Maine and our members' businesses in this space.
Is this open daily?
It's open daily for breakfast and lunch
okay.
from 7 to 3. I highly encourage you to come. On any given day, you may encounter a member doing a demo and talking about their business.
Yes.
So that's exciting. And it's really, you know, activating Providence, which is challenging these days because there aren't as many people coming into the office. And so it's something to look forward to. You're coming to work. You can meet a maker.
Yes.
Try their product. Make someone happy. Every time, you know, you buy something from a small business, they do a little happy dance. And it
Wait,
makes
they
you
do
feel good.
A happy dance?
Of course they do.
Like they physically do the happy dance?
I think in their mind they do.
No, I
and I
physically
think some
do
of
it.
Them do as well.
Yes.
Because that's what it's all about, right? Yeah. We're feeding the local economy with Hope in Maine.
Yesterday in our office, our intern Julia, we had Julia and James sitting there, and listen to this question. Gail, have you ever heard of the song It's Raining Men?
Oh boy,
I know.
That's an intern
I said
question.
I used to dance all around Manhattan
yeah.
to It's Raining Men, including Studio 54. I had no business being in
the
there.
The Weather Girls.
Yes.
That's
I had no business
yeah.
being in there, that's for sure. But I had a friend
someone.
With connections.
Yeah,
that was the way, let me tell you. I was not the crowd. But we put on a remix of It's Raining Men. She puts it on, and all of a sudden the interns are dancing. Then another young man from my office comes dancing. We're doing dance party, happy dance.
Yeah.
I thought, now every time we do a sale, we're going to put on It's Raining Men.
You should.
Or should we call it It's Raining Money? But
yeah,
we don't look
either
at stuff
way.
That way. It's raining great people.
Yes.
Because like you, sales in this world we live in, it's about meeting great people, working with great people, letting them help you, but more than that, helping them.
Yes.
That's what
it
you
is.
Do.
It
You're
is.
So give versus gain, yet you've gained so much because of everything you give.
Yeah, and every time you make a decision of what you're going to buy, particularly food, it's you're voting with your dollar.
Yes.
This is my local vote. I vote for this local company. You're keeping the dollars in Rhode Island. You're hiring your neighbors. You're creating a more sustainable local food economy. That's what it's all about.
Yes, well, millions for the local food economy.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've talked about so many subjects. I'm so blessed that you shared your cancer story. And then I want to just ask, you did lose your sister. How long ago was it?
It was 25 years ago.
25.
Yes, on October 31st, 25 years ago.
Yeah, and you feel her with you.
Of course.
Every
all the
day.
Time. Her middle name was Hope.
Okay. I
yeah.
love that.
Yeah.
That's one of the first things you told me. We sat at the table and I loved your rings and you explained your rings to me. And
yeah.
then you told me about your cancer. And then I'm like, okay, I'm falling in love
yeah.
with this woman. She's fantastic. You have a lot of innate leadership traits and you teach nutrition and public health at Roger Williams. Before that, you were the vice president at Brown University and a clinical assistant professor for community health and medical ethics at the Warren Alpert School of Medicine. I would have an attitude with that kind of pedigree, that's for sure. I'm giving you a smile.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying I personally
yes.
would, I'm joking. But you spent 9 years at Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. You serve on all these different boards, Roger Williams University Trustees, Specialty Food Association, Rhode Island Center for Justice, Aquidneck Community Table, Newport Chamber of Commerce, Anthony Quinn Foundation, Blythewell, that's just half of them. So your teaching and your giving, who taught you? Who are the leaders in your life?
I definitely my parents. Mm-hmm. You know, my parents were, neither is with us now. They're very hardworking people, very opposite. My father was, had his own business. And my mom supported my dad's business, but, you know, she was a homemaker, but she was very family oriented. And I think you can't help but get your values from your parents.
If you're fortunate enough.
If you are fortunate,
the right
and that is so true. That is a great gift. It's a great privilege. Some people don't have that opportunity. So I think I would say that my parents were my greatest inspiration. And certainly, you know, teachers in my life. I always think, you know, the younger you are, when people make an impression, the longer that impression lasts.
In birthing Hope in Maine, in doing that, who was someone that really kept you motivated?
Oh my gosh, my husband, 100%.
Is he a partner?
Yes. So if you look at my bio, you see that for 10 years I worked at Roger Williams University and during those 10 years, Hope in Maine was open. And the reason it was open and running is not because I was running it. It was because my husband says I drove him down there and put a sign around his neck that says, "We'll work for food."
Did you really?
I didn't put the sign around his neck,
that would have
but
been
I told
you.
Him that he will work for food because we didn't pay him, we didn't pay me, we still don't. You know, it's something that was a labor of love, and that's a labor of his, our love for each other, that this is something we wanted to create together. I don't, if I didn't have Waterman as my partner, Hope and Maine wouldn't have happened because it wasn't paying me, and I did go back to work when I was in recovery, and I did work at Roger Williams. And I didn't work at Hope in Maine. So I started it, but I wasn't there every day to run it.
Were you pulled towards it?
I'm always pulled towards it, and I always will be, no matter what my relationship is to it. You know, now I'm there every day. I couldn't be there every day for 10 years. And I'm pulled toward it because of the energy of the people, because when you're part of particularly startups and that, you know, all of the hope, it's like having 500 babies, you know, all of the potential that comes out of that. And just like with children, what do they thrive on? They thrive on your belief in them.
Yeah, so true.
That is what powers that place, is that we believe in each other, that we believe in what we're doing, we believe in the potential of these small businesses. And I like to say, you can't fail if you don't quit. It sounds Pollyanna, but it is, I just feel that it's true. There's, you know, there's always a way. We say, you know, fail fast and move on, because we feel that if people continue to pivot, experiment, iterate, eventually they're going to hit on something that's going to work if they don't quit.
You have three accomplished children when you're talking about birthing a child.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
So, my Waterman's daughter is a vice president at Bank of America. Okay. She grew up in Russia, and she came here for her MBA, and she is super accomplished. And my daughter is in Connecticut. She's with an investment, a venture capital company in fintech, and my son is here at Starkweather and Shepley.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
And I met Waterman at the boat show, and I just loved how fun he was.
He's fun.
That was 2 years ago, and I remember his name, and I remember
him. He's
still
fun. I know. And no one ever forgets his name. And everyone who sees me says, "Where's Waterman?"
Where's Waterman?
Yes.
And I just, before we end, and it always goes too fast, you're too little, in your bio, you have little mischievous, I should say, grand people.
I have two grand people, Harper and Easton, and I just think they're the greatest two little people, and I feel really blessed to be here to enjoy them.
What are some of the lessons they teach you?
You know what children teach you, to be in the moment, because you can't be in any other moment besides the moment that you're with a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Well, we have been speaking with Lisa Rayola, who's the president and founder of the remarkable Hope in Maine. And as we leave today, I know that I'm going to be like your grand people and try to be more in the moment and like your sister.
Thank you.
You can tear me up, but to lie every day on that grass and look at that harvest moon. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail. That means a lot to me.
Thank you for a wonderful, wonderful show. And Bruce.
You guys.
I know. Where's the tissues?
Guys,
we have boxes of tissues.
Oh, my goodness. We have 1 minute left, and I want Lisa to have the final word, more words of advice. One more Lisa advice before you leave for our audience today.
One more Lisa advice would be, you asked me, we started, you know, how do I do all these things? And I don't look at my work-life balance at 5 o'clock every day and say, oh, gee, you know, did I do something for myself today? Did I do enough work today? You sort of have to look at your life as a whole. And if you are doing what you love and you're making sacrifices, make it worth it. You know, make those things worth it in your life. That's what I would tell people. You know, don't look at your clock at 5 o'clock every day. That's too much pressure, Gail.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you again soon. Probably November 21st, I'll be down at Hope in Maine. And I encourage people to go to your website to look at your activities, hopeinmaine.com.
Org.
HopiMaine.org. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Follow Gail Olofsson on social media and it's leadership at all levels.
Your someday is now. What are you waiting for?